Welcome to the Tell Us Something podcast. I'm Mark Moss, your host. Tell Us Something awakens imagination, empowers storytellers, and connects the Missoula community through the transformative power of personal storytelling. It is a celebration of each other, our stories, and how we move through the world together. All of the stories that tell us something are true. Stories last for 10 minutes and are told from memory. Everyone is welcome to tell a story. The Missoula community comes together for a night of true stories, shared live, focused on a theme. Everyone has a story. What's yours? This quarter's Tell Us Something was recorded on June 9th, 2015 at the Top Hat Lounge in Missoula, Montana. Eight storytellers shared their true story based upon the theme, Oops, I Changed My Mind. Today's story comes to us from Carla Thielen and is titled, A Nurse and a Writer Walk into a Bar. Thanks for listening.
I feel like I should have a magic trick or something after the last one. I don't have a baby to show or anything for that. And last time I was up here, it was dark because it was winter, and this is a little bit scarier. But So as far back as I can remember, I always wanted to be a writer. I was a child that lived in the pages of books, and books offered me so many opportunities for adventure and a hopefulness that I otherwise didn't have access to. And writing was something that took me to that place on my own. And I wrote stories, I wrote poems, I wrote little plays. I made up a newspaper about the people in my neighborhood, which nobody ever read except for me. But my parents recognized my talent, and I think they celebrated it in their own quiet way. You know, it was more like, oh, that was a cute play. Now we're going to get in the car, and we're going to go visit some old German shut-ins from church at their country farmhouse that's dark with the shades drawn, and it smells like boiled cabbage. And that's what we did, because we were good Lutherans, and this is a little bit like Prairie Home Companion, but if you've ever listened to it, you know. My grandfather was a German immigrant, and he came to this country, and he became a Lutheran minister. And there were many people that were kind to him and generous along the way, and that burden somehow of paying that back kind of fell on each generation to follow. And we were people of service. So people that were writers and artists and painters, they were celebrated, and my family had an appreciation for this, but that was for other people. And so to tell my parents I wanted to be a writer when I grew up was sort of like telling my parents I wanted to be a unicorn or a leprechaun. It was like this mythical thing that didn't happen in our family. And so I kept that quiet, but there was another part of me that wanted to be of service, and that was sort of inspired by the grandfather and the whole, you know, the Protestant work ethic and this need to serve. And I wanted to be a nurse, but I didn't want to be a nurse like our neighbor Nancy Smokey or Darlene Rittering, and they got in and out of their cars and went to their jobs every day. I wanted to be a nurse from like another time, like the Crimean War, and I wanted to be heroic and dirty and bloody, and I wanted to be like crawling around in the trenches with the soldiers, and I had these visions of myself like the antique Red Cross posters, if you've ever seen them. You know, they have these nurses, and they're like sort of beatific, and they almost look like they're zombies, and they're just like staring out with this dutiful look, and they're holding like a baby wrapped in white bandages, and that was the nurse that I wanted to be. But there was still the writer part, and that was the part I had to keep kind of quiet. And I remember going to a birthday party when I was in second grade at my friend Melanie Elstrom's house. So if Melanie Elstrom's house was it was basically the opposite of where I grew up. If ours was the austere kind of ordered, dutiful household, Melanie's was like this crazy land where there was a stepmom named Lynn who was maybe like 21 years old, and there was a bar downstairs, and one time we found something wedged between the couch cushions that many years later I figured out was probably a sex toy. And Melanie's house was just this place to be free and this place to be wild. And, you know, there was always adults walking around with like coffee cups full of booze. And at this birthday party, I remember sitting down at the table, And I felt like I could be me. I could be me here at Melanie Elstrom's birthday party. And her dad had this idea for a game where it was actually very innovative. He thought we'd sit down and everybody would write down on a piece of paper, what do you want to be when you grow up? And I thought, I'm gonna do it. And I wrote down with my best cursive script and the curly Q's, I want to be a writer. And we put those in the box and they drew them out. Astronaut Jill Casey, you know, lawyer Jenny Torfin. We all knew who wanted to be what. And then all of a sudden, everybody got a little distracted and wanted to move on to the next activity, which was watching Dallas in the living room. And nobody ever drew my piece of paper out of the box. And so childhood turned to adolescence, turned to adulthood. And I found myself at age 20 sitting at the University of Arizona in a student advisor's office. And I had chosen the U of A simply because of the weather. I had grown up in Brainerd, Minnesota. So when you look at a place that, you know, in the wintertime, it's 72 degrees, I'm there. And I had really no idea what I was studying. I did many things very, very well, none of which had anything to do with my classes. And that was recognized by this advisor who wanted to sit down and talk with me. And he said, what do you want to be? What do you want to do? And I said, well, I want to be a writer. And he said, okay. So the English department, you know, started going down what classes I'd have to take. And that didn't appeal to me. And then he said, well, what kind of writing do you want to do? Do you want to do technical writing? Do you want to, you know, he wanted all these answers. And I just said, I don't know. I want to be a writer. That's what I want to do. And okay, I'm going to have you take this aptitude test. So he got this test out and was, you know, fill in the bubble with the number 2 pencil. And I sat there and I took that test. And he ran it through a machine. And in my mind, this all happened in the same day. But I don't know if it did or not. It could have been weeks. But I just remember the results of that test came back, and he said, well, the number, you know, what you came out at the top for being a nurse. And I was like, oh my God, here I am again. Age 20, now I'm back to this. And I told him, I looked at the science and math classes I'd have to take in order to get into the nursing program, and I said, I need to think about it for a little while. And so about 12 years later, after I did just about everything you can think of from, of course, you know, waiting tables. I was a raft guide. I was a mule skinner, trail builder in the Grand Canyon. And I found my way to Missoula, and I got the job on the fire lookout, on Spot Mountain Lookout, over in the Selway Bitterroot Wilderness. And I was on Spot Mountain, and all of a sudden, I got to be a writer again. And I sat there, and the dust settled from, you know, the previous decade. And I was able to sit there and kind of sort through and actually process what I was doing. And I filled pages and then notebooks and then 20 notebooks and 30 and then maybe closer to 50. And this took place over the series of 6 summers. I planned on going there just for 1 summer. But I kept going back. But when I would go back down to town in the wintertime, I didn't know who I was. I mean, I was building my whole life around this 3-month job. You know, I'm a fire lookout. Well, what the hell do you do the rest of the time? Oh, well, I clean houses, I wait tables. You know, I didn't want to be defined by that. And it seemed like the lookout was just a big enough thing that I didn't have to define myself in any other way. But the 6th summer I was up there, something came to me. And it came, you know, people talk about a life-changing event that happens like, and then all of a sudden, I decided this. And it was, but it was like that. It was like, I had this idea, I need to become a nurse. And I did it. I applied to a nursing program in Iowa. And I went back and I got my Bachelor of Science in Nursing in Iowa. And in 2009, I got a chance to do what I wanted to do and to be this nurse. And I went to Tuba City, Arizona, which is on the Navajo Reservation. And it was a little bit like the Crimean War. It was dirty and it was difficult and it was hard work. And I worked 12-hour night shifts with a bunch of other nurses that were fresh out of nursing school. And the fact that everybody somehow survived in our care was nothing less than a miracle, because we were very ignorant and we were very new, but we all had such passion. And I lived in this condo where I'd have to go home and sleep and then change the sheets on the bed, because the girl that worked the day shift came home and we shared the same room. And so it was a tough job, but I felt like I was doing it. And I was doing it. And during that time, I went to Jerome, Arizona, which is a very artsy community. And I went into this gallery and I spoke with a man who told me that he had been a nurse. This was his gallery and these were his paintings. And he said he'd been an ICU nurse for 18 years. And as he was telling me the story, and how he eventually felt he had to get back to his painting, and he had to get back to his painting. And I started getting this pit in my stomach, like, oh my God, what if this happens to me? Like, that whole thing of, like, you know, when you're falling in love and you think at one moment, you think, what would happen if I fall out of love? And I didn't want to fall out of love with nursing. And he told me, he said, but I think the way we can save the world and the way we can save others is by saving ourselves. And we have to hear that voice inside. And we have to do what we love. And I said, okay, that's great, but I'm going to go save the world back on the reservation. And I did. And I went back to work, and I continued with nursing, but those muffled cries of the writer kept coming and coming and coming until one point, just this past winter, where I had a wonderful opportunity where somebody, a publisher, actually wanted to look at a manuscript that I had written and that I've been working on since 2002, with the kind of, you know, the kind of dedication that you work on a book when you don't think it ever actually has to be finished. You know, it's just kind of like, I'm working on a book. And simultaneously, another opportunity came up for this nursing job where I knew I would have an opportunity to really affect some change on a bigger level. And I interviewed for this job, and it just went wonderfully. And I really resonated with the people, and everything went great, and I felt great. And then I went home, and I'm like, but I don't want the job. But they offered it to me, and I was like, oh, great. And then I asked for more money, and they said yes. And I was like, fuck. So I just... I sat with that for a long time, and it was like the book's over here and the nursing job's over here and back and forth and back and forth. And I went to bed that night, but I didn't sleep. You know, I sat there and, well, I lie there, and I felt the pressure on my chest, and it was a palpable feeling. And I finally understand, like, when I have patients that talk about panic attacks, I get it. My physical response to this was just so, it was so strong. And I woke up after a fitful night of sleep. And I went down to the human resources office where I was supposed to sign the papers and get set up starting this new job. And I had this whole speech planned, and it was very contrite, and it was very good Lutheran. You know, I was going to, like, blame myself for being a horrible person and come up with all these reasons why, you know, I was going to ruin all these other people's lives. And instead I went down there, and I looked at the woman who had so wonderfully and beautifully interviewed me and offered me the job, and I said, I changed my mind. And I didn't tell her the whole long speech of apology. I said something I wasn't even prepared for. I said, I changed my mind. I'm a writer, and I have a book to write, and that's what I have to do right now, and I'm really sorry. And I walked out of there, and I felt like, I felt like I was going to be start floating down the sidewalk, and I caught my reflection in a window, and I was like, that's a writer. I am a writer. I'm a nurse, and I'm a writer, but I'm a writer now, and I'm going to work as a nurse, and there's a big difference there, and I went into a coffee shop, and I ordered a coffee like a writer would. And that's what I've been doing ever since. Thank you.
Tell Us Something is proud to be fiscally sponsored by Missoula Community Foundation, a 501c3 organization. Missoula Community Foundation has been providing leadership to Missoula nonprofits and inspiring long-term philanthropy in Missoula since 2007. For the good of Missoula, forever. MissoulaCommunityFoundation.org. Thank you for your support of live storytelling and local art. The bookstore at the University of Montana, a local bookstore serving the students, faculty, and staff of the University of Montana, as well as the Missoula community. MontanaBookstore.com. Fact and Fiction, where books, authors, ideas, and readers interact. FactandFictionBooks.com. Top Hat Lounge, bringing great music to Missoula for over 60 years, the Top Hat hosts a variety of Montana-based artists and has become a destination for national touring musicians. In addition to great music, the Top Hat hosts comedy shows, film, performance art, and storytelling. TopHatLounge.com. Haley Faust is a graphic and media designer based in the heart of the Rocky Mountains. From concept to final design launch, Haley puts her heart and soul into your design project. HaleyFaust.com. Zoo City Apparel, custom screen printing. ZooCityApparel.BigCartel.com. Thanks to Cash for Junkers, who provide the music for the podcast. Find them at CashForJunkersMusic.com. Rock and Rudy's, your source for the best music, gifts, and more. Great music, great people. RockandRudy's.com. Podcast production by Nathan Zavalny of Missoula Soundworks. MissoulaSoundworks.com. And thank you to everyone who attends the events, those of you who download the podcasts, and especially to the storytellers. Brian Upton, Caitlin Hoffmeister, Tracy Worley, Stephen Begletter, Alex Alvier, Kelly Buma, Carla Thielen, and Lily Gladstone. Find us on Facebook and Twitter. Check the website to find out how you can tell your own story and to learn about themes for 2016. TellUsSomething.org. Thanks for listening.